This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, pull a cracker with language and win, but make language wear the stupid hat because I'm a killjoy. Also, I have a big head, so the hats don't fit. It's not fair. This is the last Allusionist of 2019, and it's a quiz with multiple choice questions that you can play along with at home. Perfect for doing with your family and or friends if you feel you have to spend time with them but don't want to actually have to talk to them. Or play solo, and you're definitely going to win! Now go get some paper and a pencil, or go to theallusionist.org/2019quiz, where there's an interactive answer sheet ready and waiting for you. My fellow Radiotopians will be delivering the questions to you, because it is always lovely to hear their voices. Are you ready to quiz? I can't hear you. I said, are you ready to quiz? Here's a practice question. The dictionary is A, a record, B, not a rulebook. Correct, the dictionary is a record, not a rulebook. Alright, now you're warmed up and ready to go. On with the quiz. Here's your first question from Vivian Lay from 99% Invisible.
Originally a term for someone in a particular philosophical sect, the word cynic derives from which animal? A. Dog, B. Cat, or C. Shark? The answer is A. Dog? Really? Helen, that doesn't sound right. Have you ever met a cat before?
Yeah, I know. The word cynic came from ancient Greek kunikos, meaning dog-like, and there are a couple of explanations as to why, but the cynics congregated at a gymnasium on the outskirts of Athens called kynosarges, meaning the white dog or swift dog. Or the cynics were dog-like, as in bad-tempered or surly, although most dogs I've ever met I'd probably characterise as genial. In the first Allusionist episode of this year, To Err Is Human, lexicographer Susie Dent brought bear facts. Very cute bear facts. Now Vivian comes bearing a bear question.
Hunters avoided calling bears bears. Which of these was an actual euphemism for bear? A. Honey eater, B. The brown one, or C. The destroyer? The answer is all of the above. Everybody wins a point.
Next question, please, from Ear Hustle's Erlon Woods and Nigel Poor.
The word silly originally meant A. Salty, B. Happy, C. Dizzy.
The answer is B. Happy.
Happy.
Happy, 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 happy.
I wish it meant salty.
Salty is like they give you the Heisman Trophy. They like hands off, like watch out.
I
That's salty.
Oh, I always think of salty as a little bit like playful, on the verge of being a little rude.
Ooh, well, that might be definition number three, but definition number one for salty is, you know, people getting at you foul, or they putting salt in your game. You know, they hating on you. It's haters.
Question four.
The swaying motion of a boat is the original meaning of which fashion-related word?
Ooh.
Hold up. A, vogue, B, style, or C, jacket.
Erlon, let me answer this one because you know I love fashion.
Okay. I'm waiting on the answer.
The correct answer is A, vogue.
From the old French vogue, to row or sail. Why did this start to mean fashion in the early 1600s? Because a boat was on a course to style? It was sailing on the waves of chic? You tell me.
I don't know why that come on. I'll just start thinking of Madonna.
I will totally. Bowl,
you know,
totally.
Straight
boop,
up.
Boop, boop.
Next question is from Mortified's Neil Catcher.
Gambit. Which body part does the word derive from? A. Gums, B. Legs, or C. Elbows? The answer is B. Legs. Which is kind of ironic when you consider that a gambit is often a very good opening move in chess, but calling someone's legs gams, not a great opening move in general.
Gambit came from the Italian word gambetto, a wrestling move involving tripping someone up with your leg, the Italian word for which was gamber. See also gams, gamble, gammon, the political word of the year. And now, the truth or untruth round with the truth creator, Jonathan Mitchell.
A sarcophagus is a stone casket that is supposed to contain your flesh after you die. But sarcophagus in ancient Greek literally meant flesh eating. Truth or untruth?
Truth.
Sarcophagus in ancient Greek was a kind of limestone they thought ate flesh, as in it hastened a dead body's decomposition. Question 7.
Sarcophagus shares a root word with sarcasm, the literal meaning of which is making mincemeat of somebody. Truth or untruth?
Untruth.
But it is close to the truth. The sarc in both sarcasm and sarcophagus meant meat, so sarcasm was to tear or strip off the flesh. Which, if you've been on the receiving end of some particularly brutal sarcasm, should be an understandable analogy. Question 8.
The word grotesque is a mispronunciation of scrotesque, meaning something that looks like a scrotum. Truth or untruth?
Untruth.
Grotesque derives from the Italian word grottesco, meaning of a cave, like grotto, which itself is a corruption of the Latin word for crypt, from the Greek meaning a hiding place. But before going deep into the catacombs, let's return to grotesque. It's been in English since the mid-1500s as an art term, after very elaborate decorations were discovered in a palace built some 1500 years before for Emperor Nero, but soon after his death was buried and built over, hence the cave association in the word grotesque. The ornate style of decoration usually involved creatures and foliage and distorted faces, and you can see why the term took a turn towards the disgusting. To deliver your next question, here is Ian Chillag from Everything is Alive.
The word normal derives from A. norma, the Latin for a carpenter's square, B. non mal, the French for not bad, or C. na mole, as in to gnaw on a mole. Is that normal? It's disgusting, but is it normal? The answer is A.
Norma, the Latin for a carpenter's square, which was used to make right angles. The earliest known English meaning of normal was perpendicular. And speaking of perpendicular, question 10.
The word perpendicular derives from which tool? A. ruler, B. plumb line, or C. spirit level? The answer is B. plumb line. The answer to the question, which of those tools have I heard of before? Ruler.
One more question of measurement, Ian.
Carats, the measure of the fineness of gold, are so called after A. carob seeds, the worst food in the world, B. cave rats, or C. carrots, the vegetable. The answer is A. carob seeds. Again, the worst food in the world.
Carob seeds were used as a small measurement of weight. That weight was caration in Greek, and in Latin it was siliqua, which was their name for carob. But a siliqua was a thin silver coin, and 24 of those amounted to one solidus, a gold coin. Hence why gold purity is measured in 24ths. Next question is from Nate DeMeo from the Memory Palace.
Harbinger is a late 15th century word, previously herbinger, which meant A. a person sent ahead to arrange lodgings, B. herbs which supposedly helped you see the future, or C. portmanteau of heretic and Kim Basinger. The answer is A. a person sent ahead to arrange lodgings. Bonus points if that person is Kim Basinger.
A person sent ahead to arrange lodgings, for instance, for an army or a king. You couldn't just book ahead online then. Herber meant shelter, and is related to harbour. Question 13.
The etymology for the word vapid is A. a drink that has gone flat, B. soggy pastry, C. weak urine. The answer is A. a drink that has gone flat.
or wine that had gone stale. Question 14.
The Latin word for milk, lac, also turns up in which other consumable? A. Chocolate, B. Lamb, or C. Lettuce? The answer is C. Lettuce.
Because lettuce exudes a milky-looking juice. It's not, to my mind, the most memorable trait of lettuce. It's not in the top three lettuce-related things that I might have enshrined into the name. But nobody asked me. How are you doing so far? Stretch your back, waggle your arms, take a sip of water, get ready for the final round of the quiz. Final round is the eponyms round. Eponyms being words that are based on a person's name, and here to deliver these questions is our regular eponyms correspondent, Roman Mars.
Comstockery, the prudish censorship of materials perceived to be immoral or obscene, comes from Anthony Comstock, the United States postal inspector who founded the New York Society for the Suppression of Vice. During his career as the self-elected weeder in God's garden, Comstock destroyed 15 tons of books and stated that books are a gateway to what? Is it A, Satan, B, feminism, or C, brothels? The answer is C, brothels.
Even some medical students were prevented from receiving medical textbooks under Comstock's decades-long reign over American decency, which, in 1919, 4 years after his death, was declared unconstitutional. Question 16.
In French, the word for a trash can is poubelle, after the administrator Eugène Poubelle, who in 1884 decreed that every residence in Paris must be provided with three bins, one for perishable rubbish, one for cloth and paper, and one for what? Your choices are A, empty wine bottles, B, crockery and shells, or C, bones. The answer is B, crockery and shells.
Question 17.
Okay, so here's another French eponym. Leotard, named after Jules Léotard, who wore the tight one-piece garments while he did what? Is it A, ballet, B, weightlifting, or C, trapeze? The answer is C, trapeze. He was a trapeze artist.
Though he invented and popularized the garment, Jules Léotard didn't call it a leotard. He called it a maillot.
Okay, here is your eponym bonus question. The Rorschach inkblot test is named after its creator, Hermann Rorschach. What do you see in this audio inkblot? Blue! If you said a horse and a bath full of spaghetti, you are correct, you weirdo.
You don't win any points for that question, but you do win some insight into your own soul. That was the quiz. Possible total points of 17. What did you score? Oh, well done. Oh, better luck next year. Tell me what you scored via Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The handle is Allusionist Show. You can see all of the questions and answers at theillusionist.org/2019quiz. And if you enjoyed this quiz, play last year's quiz at theillusionist.org/2018quiz. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is zygodactyl, adjective, zoological, brackets of a bird, having two toes pointing forward and two backward. Try using it in an email today. The Illusionist is produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. The music is by Martin Austwick of palebirdmusic.com. You heard from my fellow Radiotopians Vivian Lay and Roman Mars from 99% Invisible, Erlon Woods and Nigel Poor from Ear Hustle, Neil Katcher from Mortified, Jonathan Mitchell from The Truth, Nate DeMayo from The Memory Palace, and Ian Chillag from Everything Is Alive. Thank you for joining me this year. The Illusionist will be back in 2020, but catch up on all the episodes, read transcripts, see the randomly selected words from the dictionary, check out the merch at the show's forever home, theillusionist.org.